Hi there, everyone, and welcome along to this racing postcast. It's the Tipping Show, and it's Friday, the 2nd of April. I'm here, Maddie Playlt, with Tom Collins, David Jennings, and Graham Temple. We're going to have a look, as usual, through the ITV4 card tomorrow. We have action from Musselburgh and also from Haydock, so a bit of flat and a bit of jumps action before we look ahead to the Fairy House Festival. It's that wonderful Easter time where we've got so many good contests going on at the moment, including the big one, the Irish Grand National, sponsored by Boyd Sports, on Monday. So without further ado, let's get straight on in there. And the first race we're going to have a look at is on Musselburgh. It's the 150, the Betway Musselburgh Silver Arrow Handicap over 7 furlongs. DJ, I'll go to you first. What's your record like at Musselburgh? Any punters, any punting pointers for people?
Not really. I always think over longer distances, it's a kind of a track that you want to be close to the pace. Like, it's very hard to make up ground. It kind of, if a front runner kind of scoots clear off that home bend off the rail, I just find it, maybe it's just I'm backing slow horses, but I just find it very hard to make up ground. You know, the sprint course is obviously very, very quick, but yeah, I like kind of prominent racers in the longer race around Musselburgh anyway.
Okay, and we'll go over to Graham. And Graham, you had a great week last week, finally tipping the Lincoln winner, beating TC's Fancy Brunch into second. I think that gives you you the upper hand today anyway.
Yeah, the shock nearly killed me when Hakiki got his head in front, but what a brilliant win it was. And I felt sorry for Tom because that was his nap that I scuppered close to the line, but I think it was all about Hakiki that day. This 150 at Musselburgh is an interesting race. We go 11-4 Stone Soldier. That's fit off the all-weather, which is a rather interesting one. Gallipoli is second favourite for us at 6-1. I think that Gallipoli would prefer quicker ground, so I've drawn a line through it. And I've gone for Marshall Dan in this. It's got course and distance winning form. And won last October over course and distance on soft ground, which I think is interesting. We're expecting the going to be good to soft. And this horse also goes well fresh. So my first for the pick for the day, Maddie, is going to be Marshall Dan in that 150 at Musselburgh.
Fantastic. Heather Main, she's really gained momentum over the last couple of seasons, hasn't she? TC, do you agree with Graham?
I think Marshall Dan should actually be favourite in this race, though I'm not going to side with him. He's definitely a value player around 13-2. I don't think Stone Soldier should be anywhere near as short as he actually is, though he is the horse in form in this race. I like a couple of big prices. This is Musselburgh, first proper flat meeting of the year, apart from obviously Doncaster. You're going to get shocks. And as DJ said earlier, forward place horses, those that race prominently, tend to do very well here. The two I like are Hayad, who's at a good... He's got a good chance on his reappearance run. He's about 8-1, I believe. But the main pick is going to be Muntadab at about double that price, 16-1. I think he was the rank outside of the field earlier, but he's coming for a bit of support. I'll put him up as my next best in my column, my RFO column on Monday. He's completely exposed after 66 starts. And, you know, you can look at him and think, well, this horse is clearly on the downturn. But he's been really prolific throughout his career. He's won 11 times, one of which came over this course and distance. His course form, actually, the figures read 1-2, 8-2, 8. And both of those runner-up efforts were so unlucky that he didn't win. He got denied on the jamstick both times. So he could realistically be coming here with course form figures of 1-1, 8-1, 8. And if you look at that, you think, why is this horse near 16-1? He's £7 below his last winning mark. His sovereign reappearance was clearly used to blow away the cobwebs. I just think he's got a good chance. He's going to be up there from the outset and at a big price. He's worth a second look.
Okay, that's the 9-year-old Muntadab on our site here. You can see he's 12 from 33, so that is a fair move. DJ, what do you think?
It's funny how opinions differ in this game. Like, I actually thought Stone Soldier possibly should have been shorter. Like, there's three freely available. He's 11-4 with Paddy Power. I just think, like, I can see, and Tom makes a very good case for Muntadab, but, like, Muntadab was 80-1 when he ran against Stone Soldier at Sutton last time, was beaten 14.5 lengths. Now, Tom has made a very valid case to why he can improve, and he likes Musselburgh. But I just think with this Stone Soldier, he just seems to have turned inside out since he joined Archie Watson. And I know all his form at the moment, you know, was on the all-weather at Sutton. But, like, he has got winning form on turf, and he has won at Chester. He's ran well at Nottingham. He seemed to like Chester. He's ran at Redcar, and he's quite likely raced. Like, I know he's 4 and he's ran 19 times, but I don't think he's fully exposed yet. I thought last time at Sutton he was kept wide that day by Luke Morris. He looked a completely different proposition to what we've seen previously. And, you know, you've got to remember, he's now up to a mark of 100 on the all-weather. He gets to run off his turf mark of 91 here. He's a prominent racer who I think is improving, and I don't think a lot of these are improving in here. I think he's well handicapped, and I think he'll go off shorter than 3-1.
Okay, differing opinions, as you say, very interesting. DJ siding with the favourite. The 225 is the Betway Royal Mile handicap for the three-year-olds, and it is at the head of the market. We have Forest Falcon for Mark Johnston. Going to be hearing plenty more about his horses at this stage in the season, I'd anticipate, Graham.
Yeah, Mark Johnston in very good form lately, isn't he? He's getting plenty of winners, and it's very hard not to back his runners, particularly when they're on top of the market. And we've got Forest Falcon at 2-1. It has been well supported since the race was priced up. Eve Johnson Houghton's Tornadic is a 4-1 shot. Colonel Faulkner for Archie Watson's 5-1. Also a 5-1 Heights of Abraham for Keith Dalgleish. And it is 8-1 and bigger the rest, Maddie.
Thank you very much. Just the 7 in here, so no 3 places, but quite an exciting race this, as every single one of them has won at a stage in their career. So a race that punters will want to be getting stuck into. DJ, who did you come down on?
I think I've spotted one here, Maddie. Well, I hope so anyway. Richard Fahey has won this for 2 of the last 3 years. And decent prices. He won it with Cullingworth in 2017 and Coola Forest in 2019. So obviously there was no race last year. But I think this strike red is a massive price at 9-1. I really do. To me, I thought it was very interesting that he was sent off 4-1 for a really hot maiden first time out at Newcastle. Mooker won it, and Mooker turned out to be exceptional. I think it's got a 3-figure mark now. Very speedy sprinter, ran really well at Royal Ascot. And that day, Strike Red ran really well, was always up with the pace, but just ran a little bit green. Then next time out at Doncaster, was just far too keen in the early stages. It had a break. It came back at Pontefract in September. And I thought he won really easily that day. You know, always in control, looked to have matters in hand, and, you know, 1/2 1/4 lengths. But I thought he won with more in hand than that. And, you know, it's funny. He's been given an opening mark of 78. And I think he's better than that. I'd imagine that, given his good record in the race, Richard Fahey has had it in mind for quite a while for Strike Red. And I just thought the form of that Pontefract maiden win mightn't be as bad as you might think. And while there's kind of sexier horses in the race, like Forest Falcon, who's likely to go off favourite, and, you know, he was brilliant at Yarmouth. I think he won by almost double figures. But I just thought with Strike Red, I just spotted something in all three runs that made me think that, you know, maybe he's just a little bit better than the handicapper, and he's running off a mark of 78. Obviously, it's a stab in the dark. He's 9-1, but I'd be shocked if he goes off 9-1.
I like that very much. Richard Fahey also got Ventura Mutiny in there, but arguably, as you say, Strike Red would be the number one. Graham, just consolidate. Who's your selection?
Well, a few of the things that DJ said about Strike Red there, I'll probably have a little dabble on that before the price is gone. But I have picked Heights of Abraham in this, Maddie. It's only raced 5 times. Its 2 career victories were on soft and good to soft ground. The ground is going to have a bit of give on it on Saturday. And I think that Heights of Abraham looks a nice price around about 5-1. But that is shorter than the price that we initially put it in at, which tells me it's been supported as well. So I'm going to go for Keith Dalgleish's Heights of Abraham because it's likely to like the ground and it stays quite strongly.
Okay, TC, your verdict?
Well, DJ's already tipped one Archie Watson horse in Stone Soldier on the card, and Archie Watson's only got 2 runners. I like his other one, which is Colonel Faulkner in here. Archie Watson just obviously doesn't travel his horses up to Musselburgh for no reason. It's a long way from his base. He's got a record of 10-20 at the track with his runners as well, so 50%. £1 level stakes profit of plus £21.19. So you shouldn't be overlooking Archie Watson's runners, although I did overlook Stone Soldier in fairness. This Colonel Faulkner, He's a very interesting horse because he was well backed on debut, like most of Archie Watson's juveniles are. He didn't run badly at all behind a really smart Roger Varian runner. Varian trains horses for that maiden. He runs his best 2-year-olds in that race over the in recent years anyway. And then Colonel Faulkner bumped into a really good one again second time. So they had to go to Deauville to win a maiden. And he did it the third time of asking. He made all. Given he achieved RPRs in the 80s on all 3 of his juvenile races, I think a mark of 83 is probably pretty fair. And given he's going to go forward as well on a track that has a front-running bias, I just think he's got a great chance around 5-1 to make every yard.
Okay, so 3 different selections there. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock, which is over the flying 5 furlongs. It's the Betway Scottish Sprint Cup Handicap. Who heads your market, Graham?
Just another bottle for Kevin Ryan, tops the market at 9-2. Jabberocky 11-2, 6-1 Zarzini. It's 8-1 Come From The Dark for Ed Walker. Tim Easterby's Copper Knight is an 8-1 shot alongside Count Dorsey and Tarbouche, and it is 9-1 and bigger the rest. But we go four places in this race, Maddie.
Okay, and I think you've got quite a strong fancy, so I'll let you go first.
I do indeed. I thought Zarzini was a rather interesting runner here. It's having a second race for David Barron, and it was formerly trained by Mick Halford. Now, if you delve into this horse's form, you'll see it ran in Group 3 company as a three-year-old. I think it only finished a couple of lengths behind Lope Fernandez. Now, it showed plenty of zest on its first run for its new stable at Wolverhampton on debut 21 days ago. And I just think off this sort of mark, Zarzini, if it improves at all, and I think David Barron is well known for improving new recruits, I have to go with Zarzini here. It's an each-way backable price at 6-1. And of course, we've got those four places.
Fantastic. I just scrolled down here and I see Caspian Prince is running here at the age of 12 now, off a mark of 100. Just exceptional, isn't it? He won the race back in 2018. But DJ, presumably you think some younger legs are going to do the better of him?
Thunder stolen here. I like Zarzini as well. Yeah, this Zarzini is a horse that always interests me. And I think it's interesting. Like, he went for 62 grand in November. Like, for a horse like that, who looked relatively exposed, you know, has had whatever, 10 or 11 runs. 62 grand, you know, was a lot of money. And he's gone. I've always thought that he was a sprinter. I remember I was actually working for the time he won first time out of Goran Park. I was working that day. He beat a horse called Mythologic of the O'Briens. And you know, I actually thought he would turn into a classic contender after that. He ran against Armory, then against Lupi Fernandez. And I just thought he just wasn't getting home over seven. Then they tried him over six. And even towards the latter stages of the autumn last year, they were back to seven. And I just think he's a sprinter that probably needs to be with a sprinting trainer. And I think David Barron is a really good fit for this horse. He's got loads of pace. Now, he does often spoil his chance and had done over six and seven by being too keen in his races. But last time at Wolverhampton, he ran over six. Again, very fizzy in the early stages, you know, just kind of doing far too much too early. But he was hampered early as well that day and nothing really went right. And he was only beaten a length and a quarter. I'd imagine it was a pipe opener for this. Like, it's a terrible pot, but it's a decent pot with regard for recent English races. It's hard to believe it's only 15 grand to the winner and we're saying it's a good prize, but it's probably what's been on David Barron's mind for quite a while. As regards the draw, like, there's nothing really you can determine from the draw. The last couple of winners, 15, 9, 8, 16, 11, 3. So there's no real absolute definitive edge with regard to the draw. 12 should be fine. As Graham said, I just think a mark of 90, if he gets back to that juvenile form now that he's a sprinter, he could be chucked in.
Seems like a little bit of a plot, this. TC, did you find it or were you looking elsewhere?
Yeah, for those listeners out there that like it when everyone puts up the same horse, then get the notebook out because it's three for Zarzini. I haven't got much more to add. The lads have obviously covered Zarzini very, very in-depth and well. The only thing I'd say is I think there is a benefit of the draw. I really want to be drawn high on the sprint course at Musselburgh. They seem to congregate towards the stand-side rail, and still 12 is obviously a massive bonus if you have that viewpoint. So Zarzini, what price are you? Around 6-1. I doubt he'll go off that price at the off.
Certainly seems big to me. Now let's go on to the 3:35 over a mile and six. It's the Betway Queen's Cup. Good handicap this, and Nate the Great for Andrew Balding is the current favourite. Graham, could you see him staying there at the top of the market?
It's hard to know, isn't it? A wide open betting affair, this one. We go 5-1 Nate the Great, 7-1 Cardano, named after my favourite cryptocurrency. Crip Trumpet Man is a 7-1 shot as well. All Right Sunshine and King's Advice are 8-1. It's 9-1 and bigger the rest. And the good news is, Maddie, it's another four places from Paddy on this race.
Super competitive, isn't it? I think, TC, where's your vote going?
Well, I can't believe cryptocurrency has just been mentioned. This podcast has gone highbrow, hasn't it? I can't believe that. Look, I've got a couple of earlier fancies on the card, strong fancies, the likes of Zarzini, Colonel Faulkner, Munsterdab, etc. This race really doesn't appeal as a betting race. I just think it's really hard to make a strong case for one. And anyone who knows me knows that that's not usually a problem. I can make a strong case for a raindrop beating another raindrop down a window. If I was to side with one in this race, it would probably be Indianapolis, just purely for the fact that he's joined Ian Williams, is yard, and Williams is just fantastic with these types of horses. He's down to a mark £2 lower than when last successful, should relish the return to this trip. Conditions look ideal as well, but it really would be a tentative pick.
Yeah, started his career with Aidan O'Brien, didn't he, and then went to James Given. Let's see what Ian Williams can do with him. DJ, so many sort of good stayers in here, and a lot of them haven't run in a long time. How do you sum them up?
I like All Right Sunshine here. Again, as we said earlier, like Musselburgh is a funny sort of track, and I it's a track that I do like previous course format. And if you're looking for course form anywhere on Saturday, All Right Sunshine has been to Musselburgh 4 times, and his form is 1-1-1-1. Obviously loves the place. Now, look, he's been disappointing over hurdles. There's no point saying otherwise. I thought he would run well against Maidrogo at Kelso. Now, Maidrogo, I think, is a beast. But he was really disappointing there. Rockstar Ronnie, who beat him at Kelso, was beaten at Suttle during the week as well. But if you go through some of that flat form, you know, he ran very well for a long way in the Ebor off a mark of 104. He was only beaten 8 lengths. He's been dropped now to a mark of 99, and it's the first time he's been down to 99 for over a year. And some of them runs in big, big handicaps are crackers, like Behind Time to Study, just beating the neck at Haydock in September of 2019. And Keith Dalglish's horses are running really well. Drawn and Stall 3, nice draw. Is fit from a couple of runs over hurdles. Just didn't take to it as I hoped he would, but... I think All Right Sunshine, I think he's dropped down to a real manageable mark now, and that Musselburgh form really catches my eye. So he's 10-1. I think he's got a big chance.
And he has that fitness on his side, crucially, doesn't he, from racing over hurdles. Graham, just tell us who you fancy.
Well, it's a staying event over a mile and six, obviously, and who's one of the best trainers in the UK with staying types other than Mark Johnston? Johnston's been getting plenty of winners lately as well, and he's got 5 horses in this. I wasn't really committed to any of them, but earlier on in this broadcast, the lads pointed out that it's hard to pass horses here at Musselburgh. I'm not too sure would that be the case over this sort of trip. But Trumpet Man always races up with the pace. He had to make his own running last time out in a two-runner affair, which obviously didn't suit. He'll be stuck behind the leader, so he'd only have one to pass. Surely going to stay longer than the mother-in-law. He's won over 2 miles. Mark Johnston trains. He's in form. So I have to go for him out of the Mark Johnston quintet. But I wouldn't be surprised if he won the race with one of his other runners.
Okay, so from the flat to the jumps, if you've not quite had enough of the jump season yet, no fear, we're going to go on to Haydock next.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
And the first race at Haydock that we're going to preview is the 205. It's the Betway Challenger 2 mile hurdle series final handicap hurdle over the 1 mile, 7.5 furlongs. Harry Skelton, well, he's on the march, isn't he, for the championship for Brother Dan, and he rides Vision de Puy here. And I think he's your favourite, Graham.
He is. We've got him at 2-1, 11-4 Chantou Express for Kim Bailey. It's 9-2 Dino Velvet and Sporting First Time Cheek Pieces. There's been plenty of money for that one. 5-1 Excitations, 6-1 Chitty Balco, and it's 14-1 Barthos.
Okay, DJ, are you getting very excited about anything in this race? It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Not really excited, Maddie. You know, I'm somewhere between 0 and 10 in the excitement gauge. But I did like Dino Velvet. The value has gone here. I think he's 9-2 now. He was a much bigger price earlier on this week. I just think with Dino Velvet, look, you're taking a chance here. Like this horse, he's been so disappointing really overall. Like he hasn't won since March of 2019. And that stage he was rated 129. He's down to 125 now. So he hasn't really... Given the fact that he's ran so many times, well over a dozen times, and he's only dropped £4 since his last win, it'll tell you that he's actually been running reasonably well, but just hasn't been winning. And I just think a track like Haydock suits him. A big, long home straight. He usually is held up, gets plenty of cover, and comes with a late run, but just doesn't quite get there. I don't think this is a great race. I don't think there's anything here that you'd say, oh my God, this is going to absolutely bolt up. And just... You know, I look back at that run last time at Newbury and it just suggested to me that Dino Velvet was coming to the boil nicely enough. Like he was ahead of Proshima, who I thought was well handicapped off 1-3-1. It looked a better race than this, I thought, at Newbury. Yes, he was beaten 13 lengths, but he was eye-catching for anybody that wants to go back and have a look. And I just think Haydock is a track that's going to suit him. So I'm going to go for Dino Velvet, even though the value is gone.
Yeah, first time cheek pieces on him. He's been a frustrating horse, hasn't he, TC?
Two horses interest me in here. I think if Chitty Balco returns to anything like his best, he's going to take the world of beating. Around 6-1 is probably worth risking that may be the case. He's just been a bit in and out this year. I prefer the profile of Excitations, who made a mess of virtually every flight of hurdles last time at Fakenham, just paddling through them, apart from the last, which he jumped phenomenally well, which was a bit strange, given obviously you'd normally expect the opposite way around, the last when they're getting tired of them to bungle and jump well throughout the race. But he still ran out a really decisive winner. He looks an improver for Pound Sly. He's trained a fair few winners in the last couple of months. I'm just hoping they haven't watered the ground too much, because the quicker the ground, the better for him. His acceleration is just the best in the field. But I'm very wary of Chitty Balco returning to form.
Okay, the 240 is the Betway Challenger Staying Chase Series Final Handicap Chase over the 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs, and a horse that lots of people will be familiar with, DBC or Debici. How are you pronouncing it, Graham?
My pronunciations when it comes to horses, I'm nearly always wrong, but I think you did a very good job of it yourself there. We have that one at the top of the market at 3-1, 11-2 Crossley Tender. It's 7-1 Check It Out for Nigel Twist and Davies. 8-1 The Future is Bryce. Also at 8-1 is Mahler Made. And the good news again, we're going 4 places in this with Paddy Power.
Fantastic. And a good couple of horses here who are in top form. I'm not sure what to make of it, DJ. Help us out.
I went through this, and then, you know, after going through it for about 20 minutes, I was like, why do I even bother starting to go through this? This is an absolute nightmare. It's actually quite competitive. Like, Check It Out is improving on a hat-trick. Crossy Tender, again, improving. And, you know, that was a really good run behind Sam's Adventure over that marathon trip at Newcastle. DBC is a skeleton horse that's getting better, and, you know, after being pulled up twice, was second at Sandown, had second run after Windup, which I love. Cheek pieces on. Look, it's a no bet race for me, but I think DBC is the most likely winner.
You know he has that back class in the book, don't you? That's for sure. I thought the Future is Bright was quite interesting for Christian Williams and Jack Tudor, but I'm going to have another proper look at this race in a bit. Who are you siding with, TC?
Well, I really fancied DBC for the Topham, but I think they're coming here instead, which is a bit annoying. The Skeletons have been on fire recently, though. There'll be no surprise if DBC really provides him with another winner, because he just looks the type that Dan Skelton just does so well with. I want to oppose him at the prices, saying that with Marla Made. Now, I pay extra attention to these horses that I think are going to run in their Gold Cup, if you know what I mean. Marla Made's just 1-25 in his career. He's really found it hard to win races, but his only victory came in this event a couple of years ago. He was clearly trained for it last year as well, before the race was cancelled. He's now £9 lower in the handicap than when he won this race. His last two contests have clearly been warming him up for this prize. I think he's got a great chance of a lightweight, though it is very competitive.
Okay, the 3:15 over 3.5 furlongs is the Betway Challenger Stayers Hurdle Series Final Handicap Hurdle. Quite proud I managed to come out with all this without stumbling. And Sue Smith and Ryan Mannier, Cheltenham Festival winning combination, have the first in the market here with Small Present. He's 4-1. Is that right, Graham?
Yeah, in this upcoming race at that 3:15 race. Once again, we're going 5 places here, and Small Present, it does top our market at 4-1. Regarding Roots, 5-1. It's 7-1 Ashtown Lad, for a first time run following a wind up. And that's been supported as well. Colonial Dreams is 7-1. It's 8-1 I Will Do It, and 10-1 and Bigger the Rest. I was going to side with Super Calinistic in this 3:15 race. I just think it's a nice each way backable price, very consistent. It's finished in the top 2 in its last 6 starts, which I think is rather interesting as well. It's a horse that doesn't know how to run a bad race. And the amateur jockey Zach Baker also won on this horse at Kempton in November. So he's taken over the reins, but he has got experience on the horse. So I'm going to go with Super Calinistic each way in this 3:15, Maddie.
And hopefully you'll get in those 5 places. What do you think, DJ?
There's a horse in here, look, that I love, and I thought he was going to take this season by storm, Ashdown Lad, and he's done nothing but disappoint me. Like, when he won his handicap at Uttoxeter, I said, here is the horse that could win an Albert Bartlett, and I just couldn't wait to see him again. And he ran at Cheltenham. He was sent off favourite for Grade 2 in December. very, very disappointing. Made mistakes, jumped sloppily, didn't pick up the way I thought he would. Then he was really well backed again at Doncaster for that River Don, the Grade 2. And again, he kind of, you know, just went out like a light, so he did. And I think he bled that day. There was, I think the Stewart's report said that he had blood in his trachea. But I just think he's a very good horse that's better than 135 rated horse. He's had a wind operation. He's had a break. He's had 63 days off. And look, maybe my eyes were deceiving me at the start of the season, and maybe he's not the horse that I thought he was. But I always thought the world of this horse. He's a gorgeous horse to look at. And it's Last Chance. I have many of these, Maddie. I have many of these horses. But this is Last Chance Saloon for Ashtown Lad.
Yeah, similar with Dino Velvet, isn't it? But wind up first time, as you say, and the Skeletons, you bet they're going to be firing everything they can at this weekend and indeed in the next couple of days. TC, finally.
Well, with five places, it would be foolish not to pick one to try and hit the frame, wouldn't it? It's not a race that I would usually be interested in punting in, but I'm certainly interested in Silent Assistant to get in the first five for Emma Lavelle. He's north eight under rules after he won a point race, very impressively. He showed good promise, though, over inadequate trips in novice hurdles behind the likes of St. Bart's, who's obviously proven that he's got plenty of ability for Philip Hobbs, albeit his jumping's gone a bit to pot this season, and hold the note. And then he proved he was really well handicapped, Silent Assistant, off a mark of 1.17 when he took second at Cheltenham in November in a better race than this, I'd say. Connections have obviously waited for the better ground. He hasn't really been running over the winter. You could put a line through his last run because 2.4 is just inadequate for him. He needs 3 miles plus. So to fit in the first five, I think Silent Assistant's got an each way chance at around 10 to 1.
He was one I like too. Now, before we get those all important naps, what about your American fancies on Saturday, TC? Run us through them.
Right, here we go then. I know some people will be turning off at this point, but seriously, like if you love your flat racing, you've got to tune into Sky Sports Racing or watch whatever the stream you watch racing on, because there's 16 graded events across the US. It's one of the biggest race days of the year. The likes of Keeneland, Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, it's all top quality action, especially if the British stuff doesn't really take your fancy. Pay extra focus to Keeneland as well for the domestic front, because Wes Ward often starts his two-year-olds at this spring meet, which actually begins today on Friday. So look out for Wes Ward's two-year-olds. You'll be able to get much better prices if you see them win today than on the day at Royal Ascot. There's a couple of horses that I'm going to put up here, although I fancy a fair few, obviously. The first one is Hidden Scroll in the 9.24 at Keeneland, which is the Grade 3 Commonwealth Stakes. The favourite will probably be Flagstaff, who's drawn on the inside for John Sadler. He's coming here on the back of a couple of decent efforts at Oaklawn, but John Sadler, who trains on the West Coast, doesn't have a great record in Kentucky. I prefer Hidden Scroll, who's always given hints and suggestions that he could be a proper grade one horse. He's always failed to live up to the hype that he showed on his debut success when he romped home. But now he's joined Brad Cox. And if you know anything about US racing, you know that Brad Cox is one of the best young trainers around. He had a phenomenal Breeders' Cup. And hopefully Hidden Scroll can build on his recent allowance victory. That's in the 9.24 at Keeneland. And then one more, which is Essential Quality. This is one for the short price punters who are looking for an extra horse to add to their combination bets. He runs in the Grade 2 Toyota Bluegrass Stakes, a leading race trial for the Kentucky Derby. That's the 11.35 at Keeneland. This horse is just phenomenal. He's won all four starts for Brad Cox again. Louis Size gets the ride. He's owned by Godolphin. He just looks a real top quality horse. He's second favourite for the Kentucky Derby right now. He won the Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn in impressive fashion on sloppy track last time. People will know him as the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner at Keeneland in November. He should just be winning this. He won't be a massive price, but he's one for the combination bets.
Okay, and who's your nap all through Saturday's cards?
This will not be beaten.
Well, I'm going to put up another horse at Wolves. It's Sky Lake in 8.30 at Wolverhampton. She's an unexposed filly. She's finished her last two races much better than her previous number of starts. That's probably due to the fact that first time cheek pieces were fitted two runs back, and then she backed up again last time. She returns off a layoff on debut for Kevin Philippart Dufoy, who's made a phenomenal start to his training career. He's trained 10 winners from 37 runners. And I think Sky Lake's got a great chance of enhancing those statistics in the 8.30 at Wolves.
Brilliant, DJ.
Yeah, I'm going to go for one in the 4.05 at Fairy House. A horse called Magic Tricks is a brother of Abacadabras. Look, I really fancy this horse for the county hurdle. He didn't make it Was disappointed he didn't run. He's rated 132. He's surely better than that. I think better ground will bring out the best in him. When he won his maiden hurdle at Nav and he beat a horse called Great Bear, he was really impressive despite drifting in the market. Then he ran on heavy ground behind Dreal Deal at Punchestown, and it was soft to heavy again when he ran in the grade one at Leopardstown. He's got a mark of 132. This is a nice big pot, 47,000 to the winner. I think Magic Tricks will win it. First Sneezy Foster, Mark Walsh, that's a 405 affair he has.
Yeah, the Ryboat Handicap Hurdle, worth an awful lot of money, that one. And Graham?
I'm going to go with Sarzini in the 3 o'clock at Musselburgh on Saturday. I was expecting the lads to go for it before me, so I had an alternative ready, but I don't need an alternative. Sarzini, I've got a sneaky suspicion, listening to the guys, that there's no chance. There's two hopes of Sarzini going off 6-1 or better than it currently is priced at. Bob and Nunn, likely to go off favourite with the guys also behind it as well. So Sarzini is my nap for the day.
Fabulous. Now, stick with us because the quality of the jumps action goes up a notch on Sunday.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18plusbegambleaware.org.
And now we're going to get David Jennings and Graham Temple's thoughts on that action. The highlight is the Underwriting Exchange Gold Cup Novice Chase, the Grade 1 at 5 o'clock, DJ. But I'm sure you have some fancies elsewhere. Who takes your eye?
Yeah, I suppose the initial reaction, Maddie, was one of the disappointment when the declarations came through for the race. No latest exhibition running in the Grand National, no Energamine not running here. So it's a little bit deflating. But people are going to be screaming listening to this, but I think Asterion Falange will win. I thought he ran well in the marsh. I actually thought he nearly should have won the race, and if he was a bit of a man, he would have went through and almost won it, but he just lacked the class of Chantry House. But travelling through the race, like at the top of the hill, Asterion Falange was favourite in running, and I thought he'd go on and win it. He was beaten 5 lengths, but you have to remember he's just a better horse going right-handed. I thought that was a lovely kind of confidence booster where he actually enjoyed himself again. He didn't enjoy himself at Leopardstown. And to me, this is just tailor-made from this race. I know they were going to come here and not go to the marsh, but then a few of the horses kind of that they were hoping to run in the marsh didn't get there. So I think Asterion Falange is going to win that Grade 1 at 5 o'clock. And just two others that I like on the card. In the Grade 2, at 3:50, the Colin Quinn BMW Novice Hurdle. This is really interesting. There's some real unexposed horses in here, like Gladysy Mans and stuff. But look, I think Ashdale Bob is a very good horse. I fancied him in the Albert Bartlett. He didn't turn up. There was a legitimate excuse for his poor run as Leopardstown in the Grade 1. He's better than that. And he's already rated 146. So I think he could just be better than these. So Ashdale Bob in the 350. And one other one in the other Grade 1 in the card, the 320. It's the Mayor's Novice Hurdle Championship Final. Again, this is actually quite a good race. I like Atlantic Fairy for Rachel Blackmore and Henry de Bromhead. I was in Navan when she won last time. And she went a serious clip. The sectionals backed that up. She didn't hang about and she kept going when she was tackled. She just found extra all the time. And I think Rachel would be real aggressive on her. She's only rated 129, but I think that doesn't tell us how good she is. I think Atlantic Fairy is going to win that 320.
Thank you. And Graham, any thoughts to add?
Yeah, there's just two horses that I'm going to have a bet on at Fairy House. And the first one is going to be in that 320, the Mayor's Novice Hurdle Championship Final. I think things were a little bit too helter-skelter at Cheltenham for Galois, and I think the extra half mile is going to be right up its street here, and it's a nice each-way backable price with us at about 6-1 at the moment. So Galois each way. I take on board what DJ said about Asterion Falange. It's certainly a case of opportunity knocks in the Gold Cup at 5 o'clock, but the two falls are the thing that holds me up, and it's so short in the betting of 5-4 at the moment with us. It's just not for me. I'm going to look elsewhere. And I think Scarlet and Dove, although it has to find quite a bit in the ratings with the likes of Asterion Falange and Andy Dufresne as well. But I just think it's a bit of an improving mare, and we've got it at 14-1, a nice each-way backable price again. I think Scarlet and Dove, I wouldn't be surprised to see it fall into a place, and she is improving. There's no flies in Joseph O'Brien, so I'll be doing Scarlet and Dove and Galois each way in those two respective races.
Brilliant. And on Monday, of course, we have the Boro Sports Irish Grand National at 5 o'clock. A horse who was backed earlier on in the week is Sempo. I'm very interested in that horse, have been for some time. Jamie Codd, he's got a big ride on the big dog, and there's just so many progressive horses in here. DJ, who should we be siding with? Because there's a lot of different ones who have solid claims. We haven't even mentioned Latest Exhibition, of course.
Yeah, sure. Look, Maddie, I think Latest Exhibition is different class to these. I don't know, like, put it in perspective, our Duke won this race off 153 a couple of years ago, absolutely obliterated the field off 153, made a mockery of his mark. And Latest Exhibition is a better novice than our Duke was. You know, the form against Monkfish, the times, the way he jumped. Now, his cheek pieces on for the first time, which is interesting. I don't know why they're on. But, like, he's like, put it this way, right? Monkfish, I'm not sure what Monkfish is rated now, okay? But going into the Brown Advisory, Monkfish was rated 164. So I don't know if he went up for that. He probably went up a couple of pounds. So just say, if Latest Exhibition was running against Monkfish in a race, would you think Monkfish would be able to give him a stone? I'm not sure he would. I really wouldn't, especially on their second last run at Leopardstown. To me, it's just a perfectly obvious case of him being the best horse in the race. He's definitely 160 horse. So that means he's probably £7 to play around with. He's a brilliant jumper. This is his one chance of winning a big pot like the Irish National, because he's not going to be racing as lowly next year. He's going to be running grade ones for the rest of his life. And now he's running a handicap. I could see him going off 5-2, Maddie.
DJ says, keep it simple and side with Latest Exhibition. Then he's 7-1. Graham, run us through the rest of them.
Yeah, we go 7-1 Latest Exhibition. Sempo currently 7-1 as well, sharing favouritism. Denise Foster's Run Wild Fred's an 8-1 shot alongside the big dog. 9-1 Augusta Gold. Home by the Lee is 10-1. You can be sure we'll be going the extra places on this, Maddie. But I wanted to ask DJ, he mentioned that he mentioned Monkfish there. Do you remember that race around Christmas, DJ, 29th of December at Leopardstown? There was a horse running in that race that was won by Monkfish that made loads of mistakes in the race and eventually unseated the rider. The horse I'm talking about is Eurobot. Now, Eurobot's only carrying 10 stone 6 in the Irish National. There's no flies on Noel Mead. I thought he jumped much better at Navan last time out, and when he was headed and his chance was gone, he wasn't knocked around by Mr. Walsh, who was in the saddle, claiming 5. There's no confirmed jockey yet.
He's only a reserve at the moment.
He's a reserve, yeah.
He's only a reserve. Okay, I get you, sir. Right, so how many reserves is there, and is he likely to get in? That's the question.
Well, he might, there's three reserves in his first reserve, so he might get in, yeah.
Right, but I'm just saying, when he ran in that race at Christmas, he was off level weight with Monkfish, and he was a 12-1 shot. He's only raced twice since. He's carrying 10 stone 6 in this. Am I mad by thinking that this horse could get involved off this weight?
No, I think he's a nice horse. He was good at Thurles earlier on the season as well. Noel won it with the Bunny Boiler, who was a big price as well. If he got in, he'd certainly have a squeak, Graham.
Thanks for that. Well, that's the one I'm going to be backing, but I'll be watching closely to see if a horse is pulled out.
That's interesting. A nice 33-1 shot then for Graham. TC, we're clinging on to the jump season here. Who do you think can get the
Yeah, very much clinging on. I've let it go, if I'm being honest. I do think Latest Exhibition is the obvious one. DJ's made a great point. I do like backing these class horses in handicaps such as Latest Exhibition. Just another interesting point is that Jamie Codd's riding a low weight on the big dog, who was very impressive last time. There's already been plenty of money for Peter Fahey's charge as well, 20-8. So I'd be making it between the two, though. Look, I wouldn't be betting in this kind of race. I'm sticking to the US stuff after the Saturday's ITV coverage is over.
Righto. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and I'll be back on Monday. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.